broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I didn't want him to quit because I think what he does for the people
Arizona
that
did not ask for this fight.
I think this guy, he doesn't want to leave it in peace. He doesn't want to leave the country in peace.
I am left with no other choice. So today,
come on, take it from Barack Obama.
Yeah, world famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio 4, Patriots by Patriots. As Arizona countersues the federal government over border security, we're talking about that tonight. The director of national intelligence claims the Muslim Brotherhood is secular. Plus, should Justice Clarence Thomas step down from judging the constitutionality of health care? Democrats seem to think so, and we'll be talking with Jack Armstrong, a liberal blogger for the Huffington Post, MoveOn.org, and a few others. General Galen Shaw and Jack Armstrong tonight. The Patriot Hotline, 877-876-7445. Our Patriot affiliates in Tampa at WHNZ 1250 AM. And in Valdosta, Georgia, WDDQ 92.1 FM on your dial here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And our website, philhendryshow.com, where we have our brand-new shot glasses as well as our best-of CDs, our legacy best-of CDs. And, of course, all of our podcasts, all of our archives, and live streaming video as well as live streaming audio of the show on the video tonight. Get a backstage pass and get with it. Get with us as we continue to fight this fight of patriotic conservatism. Justice Thomas has been called on by Democrats to recuse himself on health care constitutionality. Now, as chances grow that the Supreme Court will take up the constitutionality of the 2010 health care law, a political battle seems to be brewing, and it's over whether some justices should recuse themselves from what is likely to be a high-profile case. 74 House Democrats, led by New York Representative Anthony Weiner, sent a letter to Justice Thomas on Wednesday calling on him to sit out deliberations on the Affordable Health Care Act because of his wife's ties to a lobbying group that opposes the health care law. There's all kinds of hypocrisies that we're having to swallow. There's all kinds of hypocrisies that we're having to pass through our system like some poison. We every day, it seems, that we listen to our elected leaders saying the complete opposite of something they said the day before. All of a sudden, Clarence Thomas must recuse himself based upon the opinions of his wife. That's what this is about. Jack Armstrong joining us from the Twin Cities to talk with us about Clarence Thomas and the very, very strange opinion that he has to recuse himself because of the opinions of his wife. Jack, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I wish I was doing a little bit better. You know, this is an issue I've always been sort of, I feel is very important, you know, and I'm sorry to hear that you're not quite understanding what this is about, Phil, you know. And
well, you, when you say I don't understand what it's about.
Right.
I got a United States Supreme Court justice here, Clarence Thomas, who has been on the job almost 20 years now. I remember this man's, I remember vividly this man's confirmation hearings.
Right.
And they were not the most polite.
Well, no, they were not the most polite, but they were questions that had to be asked, you know, and
All the Anita Hill stuff and all of the pubic hair on the Coke can stuff, and until he came out with one of the great immortal lines of all time, when he said to Senator Kennedy, he said, "This is nothing more than a high-tech lynching." And he said that, I'll never forget the phrase. It has lived on in the lexicon of America and the world, for that matter.
Well, it's a very dramatic phrase. There's no question about it. I think high-tech lynching, I have to tell you, I don't think there was one thing about what was happening to Clarence Thomas that was racist. I think that's the province. You know, you had some pretty interesting characters in your party. Jesse Helms was not what I would call the most open-minded of people.
I'm just telling you. You know, you talk about all you want about whoever in the Republican Party, but I'm telling you that at that time Clarence Thomas was attacked and vilified in ways I'd never heard a man who was being considered for the Supreme Court of the United States attacked. Sex. porn, sexual harassment.
Well, there was Anita Hill, who was a very believable witness. I think to this day she is, too, you know. But I don't want to fight that fight anymore, Phil.
No, I don't either, but I'm telling you that here's a guy that can't get a break.
Oh, no, I disagree. I think Clarence Thomas gets a lot of breaks, and I think he is, you know, here's a guy, Clarence Thomas, who, you know, you can call him, he's a brilliant man, but he is a man who, when there is a case that's to be heard before the Supreme Court, you know, he doesn't ask any questions. He sits there and lets the other justices ask the questions, you know, and then he somehow comes to some opinion based upon not asking no questions and just sitting there. Okay, I mean, if that's the man's opinion, okay. But let's face it, you know, he's married to a woman who is an attorney, Virginia Thomas. She founded a conservative group, the Liberty Central. She stepped down, true, in December amid the controversy over that memo calling for repeal of an unconstitutional law, health care. But the fact is, this guy, Clarence Thomas, is married to this woman. And the culture in the African-American community, men are it's a matriarchal society. And with a woman such as Virginia Thomas as your wife, it's not very hard to understand, you know, that she's going to have a influence on you.
So Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court justice, a lawyer, a man of eminent credential. At the end of the day, because he's black, he's going to be...
No, I didn't say black. I didn't say black.
Yes, you said in the African-American community. What is the difference?
The difference is it's not a racial type. I'm talking more about a cultural difference. The cultural... You have to understand, Phil, you know, I come from the Balkans. I come from a very hard-pressed part of Europe, and I'm in a position, you know, even though I am technically Caucasian, I think I'm in a position to tell you a little bit more about what maybe an African-American is going to be thinking about. And
I'm not. Okay, I'll tell you what, let's not go there, okay, because I don't want to get into a whole argument.
Well, we don't have to go there, you know, anywhere, but I'm just trying to tell you something that you probably don't know.
I'm aware of the matriarchal nature of many black families. I'm aware of the subsections and subcultures existent in our country. But what you're telling me is an attorney, a federal judge, a Supreme Court justice, is basing an opinion on the constitutionality of the health care law. He's basing it on his wife.
I'm telling you that Clarence Thomas... you know, he is a man who has this opinion because his wife has this opinion. He has it in for some of these liberals, I think, as well, who gave him this hard time that you're talking about.
So not only does he have this opinion because his wife has this opinion, he has an opinion about the unconstitutionality of health care because of prejudice.
No, I didn't say prejudice. You said prejudice.
No, you said a prejudice against some of the individuals that gave him a hard time during his Supreme Court hearing.
Yes, exactly. He has a... I think it's a more... it would be stupid of us not to think that Clarence Thomas has an opportunity here to take down two or three or four or however many or even the whole liberal elite, you know, with a ruling, the same people that made life... literally hell for this guy, you know, that you say anyway. I don't think they did, but if that's the feeling over on their right side, you know, that this guy's got some payback coming. So Clarence Thomas, to me, the water is too polluted. There's been too many things that gone under the bridge for him to have an objective opinion.
All right, we're talking here with Jack Armstrong. Our number is 877-876-7445, our Patriot hotline, 877-876-PHIL, about Clarence Thomas and when health care eventually, if it does get to the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas should not hear any of the arguments and should not be in on writing any of the opinions because Clarence Thomas has a wife who has an opinion of health care that it's unconstitutional.
No, but that's not the only argument that I gave you.
No, I know, and you're also saying that Clarence Thomas is a guy that's got it in for the other, for the liberals, and that he is going to, in other words, come to conclusions based upon stupidity.
You know, Phil, you want me to say that. You said that. I didn't say that, you know.
But you're saying that Clarence Thomas is going to base his opinions on the health care law because he's not very bright, because he takes his marching orders from his wife, and because...
I didn't say that the man is not bright. Listen to what I'm saying. You know, a lot of conservatives spend so much time talking. I'm not trying to indict you, Phil, but I said that Clarence Thomas is a judge that has never really showed himself to be much of a brilliant constitutional Supreme Court justice, and now you got this guy with a wife who is believing that it's unconstitutional, and he may be overly influenced by her because of the place that the woman plays in a black family, and also, yeah, he may have it in for some of these liberals.
All right, let's talk about Elena Kagan, who left the White House.
Oh, it's a different story completely.
But no, it's not a different story completely. Some liberals would like her to recuse herself because she is a liberal who spent time as a solicitor general in the White House.
It's completely different. It's completely different, and that's not really what I want to talk about. You know, I came on your program to talk about Justice Thomas. And
why don't you want to talk about Elena Kagan?
Because it's not about Justice Thomas, number one, and it's completely, she's got legitimate reasons to stay. You know,
well, here's one legitimate reason. She's a liberal, you're a liberal, so you want her to stay.
No, that's got nothing to do with it. I'm saying that I don't want to talk about Elena Kagan because that's not what we're going to talk about, you know?
You don't want to talk about Elena Kagan because I'm going to hold your feet to the fire just like we're talking about...
No, you're not going to hold my feet to the fire.
Yeah, that's just like we're talking about Thomas here.
No, you're not going to hold my feet to the fire, no.
Then why don't you want to tell me why Elena Kagan shouldn't be recused because she was a solicitor general in the Obama White House?
Because that's not the big story. The big story here is Thomas and his wife and the fact that he had a very controversial, like you said, confirmation hearing. And Elena Kagan, that's what they use, you know, to confuse the issue and to get you off of Clarence Thomas.
Why is Clarence Thomas the only issue?
Because Clarence Thomas, are you kidding? I mean, look at, that guy attracts lightning. He is with a Coke can, with a pubic hair, all down to...
That was a long time ago. Why is it all about Clarence Thomas now?
Because the man has a history of being outside the mainstream. He is a little bit of, I guess you want to call, a little bit of an oddball, you know, like Souter was an oddball. This guy...
Why is he an oddball?
You got a lot of questions, you know.
Yeah, why is he an oddball?
Who, Thomas?
Yeah.
Because this guy doesn't ask any questions. I think there's a lot needs to be asked about Clarence Thomas before we get around to Elena Kagan.
All right. Hold on, because I got a few more questions for you, Jack. That's for sure. Jack Armstrong, liberal blogger on Clarence Thomas. He believes that Clarence Thomas should... recuse. That means remove himself from any discussion of the health care law because his wife believes it's unconstitutional, because Clarence Thomas may have it in for liberal, senators, because Clarence Thomas is an oddball and he doesn't want to talk about Elena Kagan. We'll be back here, Radio 4 Patriots, by Patriots, 877-876-7445. Let's put this guy's feet to the fire tonight. Jack Armstrong, liberal blogger. And tell us why you believe, if we're going to talk about Clarence Thomas, I think we ought to talk about Elena Kagan, there's no question. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Our Patriot line is 877-876-7445. Clarence Thomas, and let's put Jack on hold for a minute because Jack, I know you're on hold, but I want to get this said. Clarence Thomas weathered one of the most vicious confirmation processes, hearings, if you will, in the history of the United States Senate, to the point where he himself characterized it as a high-tech lynching. Clarence Thomas was nominated to the United States Supreme Court by George Bush Sr. In large measure, yes, because we had lost Thurgood Marshall, an African-American justice, but also because Clarence Thomas was eminently qualified, was a man with impeccable credentials, and they trotted out this woman, Anita Hill, and these attacks as low and as base as you could possibly imagine, sexual harassment, pornographic movies, and so forth, to impugn this man. Now, 20 years later, the liberals have got a problem with him. The liberal problem with Clarence Thomas is his wife. Not him, his wife. The liberal problem with Clarence Thomas is that the black man may be under the influence of the white matriarch. And that Clarence Thomas has a long memory and therefore wants payback on some of the liberals that humiliated him. And why wouldn't he? But they don't even want to attribute to him any kind of maturity or decency. His mind is made up. If his wife is against it, then he's against it, and he's an oddball, and so on and so forth. And it has continued, and it's just amazing. And, Jack, I'll let you, you know, respond, but I think it's just amazing, you know, that liberals have cornered the market on the understanding and forbearing white man.
What are you talking about, you know?
What I'm talking about is the idea that not a one of you guys is racist at all, and yet I'm bringing up to you the treatment of Clarence Thomas down through the years.
No, there's no racist treatment of Clarence Thomas at all. No racist treatment of Clarence Thomas at all. What we're saying is that...
What do you call it then, man, when you are... You just said to me, in the black family, the white woman, or not...
I didn't say white woman.
You said women, matriarchal that they are, they're going to influence the thinking of their husbands.
That's not racist. That's about the matriarchal nature of a family.
And that this guy's mind is going to be bent by it.
You know, I'd like to finish what I'm saying, if you don't mind, Mr. Henry. You bring me on your program to comment on this, you know.
I brought you on my program to comment on it. I want you to comment about Elena Kagan.
Well, that's not what we're going to do tonight, you know.
Whoa, hold on, man.
No, you brought me on your program.
You know that I told you that I wanted to talk about the Supreme Court and the... And the confirmations.
You said to me that this would be okay. You know, look, I'll talk about Elena Kagan if you want to, but let me tell you, it's got nothing whatsoever to do with Clarence Thomas and the oddball nature of this guy. You know, I don't have anything against Clarence Thomas, but I do have something against any man who is sitting on the Supreme Court of the United States of my country, America. You know, and is going to make a decision about the health care law that is going to help people. Millions of Americans need health care. They can't make it without it. And Clarence Thomas, who is taking his marching orders from his wife, you know, because of the matriarchal nature. Yeah, that's right. I said the matriarchal nature of the black family. And because he's got to get some payback, you know, against the liberals that humiliated him, he's going to keep people from having the health care that they need. And to me, that's wrong.
Okay, and then, but we can't talk about Elena Kagan, who is going to support this. You know, let's just say that I believe she's going to support it.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You don't know. She's a Supreme Court justice. You don't know. You know.
Well, then how do you know what Clarence Thomas is going to do?
The thing of it is this, okay?
You just told me that Elena Kagan, I can't say how she's going to vote, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Okay, why?
That's not a very informed way of looking at it. This is a member of the Supreme Court, okay? And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say to me, then why don't I look at Clarence Thomas the same way? And I can't, you know, because it's different. He's a conservative, which means, by definition, he's a guy that is going to... You have to make the assumption when you think of anybody who's a conservative... And I don't understand why more people don't think this way. You have to make the assumption, when anyone is a conservative, you have to say they're going to be a conservative, which means they don't want to change the status quo. And with Elena Kagan, she's a liberal. That means that her mind is open. And,
oh, that doesn't mean anything of the sort. You know that, and I know that. It means that the Elena Kagan's mind certainly isn't open as a liberal to the possibilities inherent in foreign policy. We know that liberals have long proven themselves to be 19th century thinkers when it comes to the possibilities inherent in foreign policy. All right, let's take a break. With me here is Jack Armstrong on the Phil Hendry Show as we talk about Clarence Thomas and the fact that he should recuse, or the opinion that some liberals have, that he should recuse himself from being on the Supreme Court decision, or in on the Supreme Court decision regarding health care, that his conservatism will keep people from, keep him from voting the right way on it, and that his wife has an opinion against it anyway. Our number is 877-876-7445. Health care. Let's go. Let's talk about it. Otherwise, Clarence Thomas is gone, man. He's gone from the discussion.
Well, he ain't done.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, as we talk about Clarence Thomas and the liberals and Democrats in Congress who want him off of any decision-making with regard to health care if it goes to the Supreme Court. And I have with me Jackson Armstrong, who is a liberal blogger. Now, we were talking about Clarence Thomas, and you've avoided talking about Elena Kagan, who's a liberal judge, but... You don't think she's got anything to do with it, but you've agreed at least to discuss her a little bit?
Well, yeah, I've agreed to discuss her, but here's the number one situation you have to understand. Clarence Thomas, as much as some people think he's a darling of the conservative movement or Republican Party, a lot of people, and I'm talking about conservatives now, they don't even know who he is. They don't even know who he is. They don't even know he's on the Supreme Court. The people who are aware that Clarence Thomas is on the Supreme Court are mostly the liberals and Democrats, you know, who opened the door for a black Supreme Court justice with Thurgood Marshall, you know. So,
all right. Well, we'll start handing out the brownie points on that one a little bit later on.
No, there's no handing out no brownie points, you know. I'm just saying to you that you're talking up Clarence Thomas, and most conservatives and Democrats, conservatives and Republicans, they don't know who he is, you know. Right now, you have in the Republican Party, you have a split, you know, with Ron Paul, you know.
Yeah.
There's a split there. Those people, Ron Paul's people, you know, they think Dick Cheney's a war criminal. I mean, your party out of control, you know.
All right, let's get off that kick, man, whether conservatives know who Clarence Thomas is or not. Let's talk about Elena Kagan. Can we do that now?
Sure, I don't mind to talk about her. You know, I just didn't know you want to, you know, if you want to try to make some comparison.
Yeah, I do want to make a comparison. Elena Kagan was the Solicitor General in the Obama White House. Now, look, Jack, you can run, but you can't hide, okay?
I'm not running from nothing.
Okay. All right, but Elena Kagan was the Solicitor General in the Obama White House. Elena Kagan is now a Supreme Court justice. She was in the Obama White House during all of the discussions of the Obama administration, I should say, during all of the discussions, the formative discussions of healthcare legislation, and so on. Why is it not reasonable to assume she'll be prejudiced going in as a liberal judge?
Because as a liberal judge, you got to understand that she's more open-minded about it.
Okay, so are we going to have to...
I'd like to finish what I'm going to say.
But we're going to go along with the definition liberal. That means open-minded.
Yeah, I think liberal means open-minded. Let me tell you something. Elena Kagan is in a work environment, and as such, she was in a work environment in Obama White House, and she's a liberal. Clarence Thomas is a conservative. The definition of a liberal is a person who has an open mind and is forward-moving, and the definition of a conservative, you know, is someone who's conservative. I mean, they're not going to move. They're going to stay, you know, planted in the same place, you know. So you put those two together, Elena Kagan can be in an environment where there's lots of discussion about health care legislation, but she's not going to be influenced near the way Justice Thomas is, you know.
Wait, why would she not be influenced if she's a liberal and she's got an open mind, she'd be more prone to be influenced than a conservative who's very rigid.
No, because the definition of a liberal is not just open mind. It doesn't mean that you're...
Yeah, see, you didn't take that into consideration in your discussion era, Jack, I don't think.
What are you talking about?
The fact that a liberal is an open-minded person, you're very willing to make that argument, but you're not willing to say an open-minded person is also somebody who could be very susceptible to suggestion. Suggestible, as they call it, I believe, in the world of hypnosis.
Great. So a liberal is someone who is... you know, you conservatives constantly amaze me. You saying a liberal is someone who is like a mindless robot?
Well, sometimes, yeah. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't even say sometimes. Yeah, all the time. I think that liberals are mindless robots because
You got some pair on you to say something like that. You know, the way that conservatives are lockstep, especially that Tea Party, which is a bunch of robots, if ever I saw them.
All right, let's get off of the personal characterization. It's not getting us anywhere, and it's not really important. What I wanted, I'm simply saying to you, there is no open-mindedness at all about Elena Kagan. There's nothing on the liberal side of the equation that would say, if we're going to attack Justice Thomas, then why don't we go after, why don't we at least hear what they have to say about Kagan?
Well, because Thomas has a wife that is an attorney, so there's a lot of professional pressure and power on that. I just think I'd completely reject that Elena Kagan should even be part of this. A liberal, the people who wrote the health care program are the people who are I believe, understand the issue. And when you throw in a guy like Clarence Thomas who doesn't ask any questions anyway, and then he's got a wife, Victoria Thomas, who is pressuring every day. She come home and she's talking to Clarence and she's saying, you know, unconstitutional, until he can't stand it anymore.
Well, you don't know what's going on in their house.
Well, I would be very, very surprised if that's not the situation.
You don't know what's going on in their house. You know, she's coming home and saying, Clarence, you know, healthcare.
I would be very surprised if that's not the situation. I think that man is under incredible pressure, unbelievable pressure from that woman to say it's unconstitutional. And if you don't agree with me, you know how it is, man. Women hold all kinds of the cards, you know, in a marriage. You know, cut him off, you know.
Oh, come on, man. Why can't we have a little class here?
I'm just talking about just a man and a woman at night when there's nobody around. And she says to him, you know, how you going to go with that? I'm not going to vote. You know, I may vote for it. I don't know. And she says, that's it. You know, we're cutting the water off, you know.
All right, so whenever we're talking about Clarence Thomas, man, we got to go down that road, huh?
I'm telling you
that your reasoning and your thinking is ridiculous when it comes to Clarence Thomas's reasons for voting, and we don't even know how he's going to vote, do we?
Well, I don't tell me he's going to vote in favor. If it ever gets down to it.
Well, it's happened before, Jack, and you know it as well as I do that in the Supreme Court of the United States. Has disappointed many presidents who have tried to put their justice in here or there, a liberal, a conservative, somewhere along the line, and the next thing you know, they're not voting the way that they wanted them to. Earl Warren, one of the earliest examples of that, all the way on down the line. We'll see what happens. Jack Armstrong, thank you, Jack, for being with us.
All right, but you know, keep in mind what I said to you about Clarence Thomas. We'll find out what role his wife is going to play.
Thanks a lot, man. I can't keep listening to that. All right, our number is 877-876-7445. General Galen Shaw coming up next hour to talk about immigration. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. Well, you just heard a very interesting discussion there about a Supreme Court justice named Clarence Thomas, who many Democrats believe is incapable of hearing any arguments concerning the constitutionality of health care because his wife is a conservative lawyer, and she is going to influence his thinking. And Elena Kagan, of course, was a solicitor general in the Obama White House, and as I mentioned to Jack, you know, was privy to the very beginning stages of the health care discussion within the White House, and she's just fine. You know, nobody really sees any problem with that. Well, we'll see how all of that plays out, but it's a it's a very, very weak approach to try to get a guy to recuse himself because his wife, you can't be serious. There's got to be something else going on. Obviously, they realize this is going to go to the Supreme Court. This challenge, this judge in Florida that ruled the health care unconstitutional, Democrats are going to sit there and take that. They'll continue to challenge it all the way to the Supreme Court and they're trying to, I don't know, water the field or something and get people ready for it. All right, coming up, we will talk about Arizona immigration and the fact that Arizona is countersuing the federal government. And we're going to have with us General Galen Shaw to talk about why that, you know, all of that, in his opinion, is a waste of time. General Shaw believes that a state trying to protect its own borders is a laughable thing. Now, multiculturalism has failed, according to French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Here's a guy that came along at a time when we were being told the world is against America. The world is not going in America's direction. The world is going completely, and this is an area here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. This is an area where we're very, very strong. And when I say very, very strong, what I'm saying is basically we know what we're talking about. Most other shows don't. And that is foreign affairs, foreign policy. Nicolas Sarkozy came along at a time when people said America had no friends. Because the world isn't going America's way. The world is rejecting America's leadership. The world is rejecting America's leadership because America's morality is somehow suspect. America's values and principles are somehow suspect. And what do we have? Nicolas Sarkozy in France. Now, it just doesn't get any dumber than that in terms of the perception of some in this country when you say that the world, why, look at the French, and look at how they've rejected us, and look at how the French are disgusted by us when we had our freedom fries, and weren't we laughable? Well, what happened? The people of France got a little concerned about affairs within their own country, a lot of it having to do with immigration, a lot of it having to do with the economy, and they put in place a bona fide conservative, Nicolas Sarkozy. A guy that wants to get rid of Muslim wear for women. A guy that is now saying openly that multiculturalism has failed. And it isn't just in France, Germany, Great Britain now. Well, what happened to the view that America was somehow being seen as it was being deserted by the rest of the world because America was like a blind man trying to lead people whose eyes were newly opened? What happened to that? Well, the initial belief and opinion was wrong. The initial opinion by many in this country that we've really lost it now, man. I mean, the world is looking at us like we are just the most decrepit and morally degenerate nation the world has ever seen. We have lost it. All those people saw it wrong. And you talk about a bandwagon.
I'm going to say, man, everybody jumped a bandwagon and like one on top of the other, on top of the other.
What about the sign the guy had?
What sign?
The guy, world, we're sorry.
Oh, yes, world, we're sorry. You remember that one? Sorry, we elected. Who's the guy that held that sign up? I mean, I bet you he's proud of that even to this day. Can you imagine an American holding up a sign that says, sorry, world, when George Bush got elected? We're apologizing to who? Who are we apologizing to? Who? Most people say the first thing out of their mouth, France. France, oh really, France? Well, take a look at France, man. And the Middle East. Let's not forget the Middle East. Let's not forget the Middle East. The Middle East. Oh, you can't be shoving this democracy stuff down their throats. Don't you understand that these are tribal people? Don't you understand that these are nomadic people? They don't even come from an orientation where there are nation states. They come from an orientation where they still water their camels here, and then they go over here for their winter camp, and it's all Lawrence of Arabia, you know?
Yeah, they think that, like, the Arabs are moving all around and everything.
Right. and that all of these artificial borders that were constructed at the end of the First World War are just that, the First World War are just that, and you'll never be able to. And then all of a sudden, what do we see? I realize it's not an Arab state. It is a, quote, Persian state, but it is an Islamic state. And what did we see? The Green Revolution of June of 2009. We saw young people, we saw westernized young people and others in that country asking for a democratic form of government, a Western-style democratic form of government. Now, how do you feel when you're a liberal in the United States of America talking all that garbage, and all of a sudden, here comes Iran? As I'm going to tell you something right now. They're looking at the conservatives in America as aiders and abettors to an autocracy and a dictatorship in Egypt. What do you think you progressives were during the Green Revolution in Iran?
Man, that's a good point.
I know it's a good point.
That's a real good point, man. Not a one of them said nothing.
They didn't say a word. They didn't want... No. Stay out of their business. Stay out of their business. Stay out of their business. Obama was getting hit with that message left and right. People were screaming at Obama to make a stronger statement on Iran. And he got the message from the liberals, you better just back it down a notch, man. We don't want to get into that fight. That's going to make us look like a horse's ass. All of a sudden, we're promoting democracy in the Middle East. Well, that's what you can't say you're doing now. Let me tell you one of the reasons why nobody wants to talk about democracy in the Middle East, unless it's with major caveats, because of something called Iraq, which in the mind of every progressive so-called, every so-called liberal, is the biggest mistake that we've made since My Lai. It's the biggest mistake we've made since the Civil War. Getting involved in Iraq, getting involved in taking out a terror-sponsoring regime in the heart of the Middle East by a guy who had been a ward of the international community for 12 years. Yeah, you damn right we did, and we, you know, went in and did our own inspection.
I like the fact we went and did our own inspection. They say there's no WMDs. They say, well, how do you know?
Yeah, well, that's what I tell people. They say, well, you know, the really didn't find any WMDs. You wouldn't have found that out, man, had we not gone in and kicked a little ass. You're talking about no WMDs. Don't tell me you knew. You didn't. The only time people, these progressives, knew is when they found out by way of the United States military. That's how you found out. That's what I call Iraq. I call that one big inspection. And for the people will say, a lot of people died, Mr. Henry. I understand that. And the feckless and weak argument about, you know, this guy's a draft dodger and that guy's a draft dodger. This is a country making a foreign policy decision based upon things that have happened to this nation, based upon things that are emanating from the Middle East that are damn serious. And we do have a military for a reason. So nobody wanted to say anything about Iran because Iran, that's a democracy, but that's like the Islamic Republic. What are you talking about, man? There can't be no... Are you telling me there's a... Yeah, that's exactly what we're telling you. They want democracy over there. That Islamic Republic, man, that thing's a joke, Jack. That thing's strictly from hunger. Get out of here with that guy with the mullah and all that jazz. That is the 16th century. And that's what you cats have been backing up. So they say to the conservatives, what are you backing up but a good old-fashioned 20th century style tin horn dictator? Maybe. Maybe. The United States has never, ever lied about the fact that we make foreign policy decisions based upon what we see as the smartest decision to make at that particular moment with regard to the security of our country and the resources that we access either here or other places. And so we have found ourselves at times in bed with some, shall we say, questionable people. And once we've used them up, then we've used them up, and guess where they wind up? Well, in the case of Noriega, he's in jail. Somoza died on foreign soil, so did the Shah. These people become dispensable. That's how the ball game is played. That's how the greatest country in the history of the world survives in what sometimes is a poisonous and very dangerous environment called the world. And America gets all of the notoriety because France, Britain, Germany, Russia, Japan, Australia, our friends in Canada, they're all doing it. They're all out there making friends. But we get most of the ink because we're the biggest target. So let's start talking like adults. Let's start talking like adults. Let's put talking like children.
Like everything would be just beautiful if Uncle Sam would go away. Uncle Sam, he didn't even invent the game. Well, I'm talking about the British. The British invent. My God, the British. The French. The British were was running a game, an international game of colonialism and imperialism that taught us a lot of the ropes and many other countries around the world. The British carved up the Middle East. We didn't. The British coaxed us into a coup d'etat in Iran in 1951 or 52, whenever it was. Our CIA went out. We said, okay, we'll help you guys out. You're the British. You are allies in World War II. The war's been over 7 years. What the hell do we know? We're going to go in there and, because the British said to us, this is going to destabilize the oil supplies. They want to put a commie in here. You know what the commies are? Everything was commie. Everything today? Islamist. And until such time as someone can prove that we don't have a problem, because, excuse me, we just had 3,000 people butchered alive before our eyes by Islamists, so you'll pardon us if we're a little suspect.
So true, man.
All right, I didn't even get to multiculturalism.
I don't care, man. That was perfect, man. I'm glad you brought up Iran, too.
All right, well, we'll get back here on the show. And coming up, we have General Shaw, right?
Yeah, I got him online, too.
General Shaw on immigration and Arizona. And don't forget our Patriot line, always open, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots.
Phil Hendry.
By patriot and American.